So this is my second time doing this. My first time I was probably like 10, and I don't remember it at all. So this is a little new again to me. But we'll start right off by jumping right into the Bible. We'll go to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 1. I got to turn there myself too. So Joshua chapter 10. So my message goes right along with Dallas. It's like right after his, mine fits right in right after it. So that worked out well. So Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to first read verses 1 through 8. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel, and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from my servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So the point of, or what's going on here is, the Gibeonites, as were mentioned previously, they were the ones that tricked Joshua into protecting them, because they knew, they heard about Joshua and the Israelites coming through and wiping out Jericho, and they heard that they were next. And so they came to Joshua. They got themselves old clothes and old water carriers. I don't know what you call them, but and they had moldy food, and that's what they brought, trying to tell Joshua that they came from a very far land and that they wanted to make peace with Israel. And so even though they were right next door to where they were, so Joshua was tricked into making peace with them, and he couldn't go back on his word after he said that he would. So now they're living, they're still in Gibeon, but they are at peace with Israel, and Israel won't attack them. So these other five different cities, they also heard about the Israelites coming in and wiping out all the Canaanites, and they were afraid as well. And so once they heard that Gibeon allied with Israel, they were all scared too. So they all grouped together to fight against Gibeon and Israel. They thought they had a better chance to have five versus two, but they forgot that God is a lot more than just five. So anyway, in verse number 8, God gives the command. He says, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Oh, that's not the right verse. Well, anyway, so God commands Joshua to go through and to kill everybody in Canaan. And so he gives the command there. And in verse 8, it says that, or he's promising Joshua that he will give him the victory, that he's already delivered them into his hand. So the point of my message tonight is that God will provide for his work. So in this case, Joshua's work was to go take out the Canaanites and to claim the promised land for Israel. And so the commandment is to go through and wipe out the Gibeonites, well, not the Gibeonites, But to wipe out everybody in Canaan. So then we'll continue in verse 9 here. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So there in verse number 14, saying that God never answered a prayer like that, nor will he ever do that again, where he listened to Joshua's request to hold the sun still. Now, the reason I believe that he did that was, as in the verses previous, it was saying how he was chasing down all the Amorites that were fleeing from them and wiping them out like he was told to. And time was running out in the day, so I believe that's why he asked for the sun to stand still so they could finish the job. And once again, Joshua was just trying to do what God commanded him to. And so God answered his request and held the sun still for almost a day, I believe it says. Yeah, verse 13. And it says, it hasted not to go down about a whole day. So, once again, God was providing for Joshua to be able to complete his task. And so, got another case of this in Matthew 17. So turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17 and verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So here, the disciples were asked by tax collectors if they paid their tributes, or if he specifically asked if Jesus did. And so Jesus explains that they don't need to pay the taxes. But since he didn't want to offend the ones who collected the tribute, he wanted Peter to pay it anyway for him as well as Peter. And so once again, Jesus wants Peter to do something. And so he provides once again for him to do that task. So he tells Peter to go down to the water. And then the first fish he brings up, there will be a piece of money in the fish's mouth. And so that's how God provided again for Peter to complete the task that Jesus had for him. So, like Dallas was saying, we all have a purpose. And so, my message is that God will provide everything you need to complete that purpose.